morning entitled Hero Central, which happens to be the theme of our vacation Bible school that we're doing. And so throughout last week, this morning, and then for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about attributes that God's heroes have. So last week we spent some time looking at the story of Abigail out of 1 Samuel chapter 25 and the incredible amount of courage that she displayed as she had this interaction with David. And so if you're curious about that story, 1 Samuel chapter 25, read about Abigail talking about courage. And we talk about throughout this week with VBS, and we're talking about with the kids these themes of attributes, characteristics that God's heroes have. So we're talking about God's heroes have hope, God's heroes have courage, God's heroes have strength, and so they have wisdom. And this morning I really want to focus on that one that I mentioned of hope. And so as we kind of jump into that, I'm going to pray and then we'll keep going. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks that you're here, and we pray that even if just for a moment you might help us to set aside the distractions from the past week or the week ahead or just all the stuff that we have going on in our lives and the to-do lists and the things that we're thinking about. And we pray that you would just help us to be present with you. And so open our hearts and our minds to the things that you would have for us. We pray that you would speak to us. We need you. We plead with you to speak to us. And so we pray that we would be open to those things. We ask that you would open your word to us this morning, that it might be fresh and new. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. So this morning I want to give you three thoughts to think about with this idea of hope. And we're going to talk about the timing of hope, we're going to talk about the source of hope, and then we're going to talk about the story of hope. So timing of hope, source of hope, story of hope. Now, hope, I would say this, hope is this thing that we experience now for this thing that we haven't yet had in the future. Hope is the thing that we experience now for this thing that we haven't experienced, we haven't realized, that we haven't attained in the future, right? If you think about it this way, there was a point in my life when I was hoping that I might be a homeowner someday. And now I happen to be a homeowner, and for those of us that are there, now we're kind of, there's a hoping like someday I won't be, right? It's funny how it changes that way. But so there was a point when I hoped for this thing that I didn't have, but I hoped to attain in the future. So hope was the experience of the now for this thing that wasn't yet. And then I became a homeowner, and now I don't hope to be a homeowner anymore because I'm there, I have it, I'm living through that, struggling with that, and all those things that go with it, right? And you can think of things in your life where you were hoping for this thing, and then you got the thing and or had the experience or whatever the case might have been, and now you no longer hope for it. So the timing of hope is this thing that we experience now. Hope is the thing we experience now for some future thing, okay? So I want you to think about that as we jump into, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, and so with the kids doing VBS, they'll talk about and they'll highlight this idea of hope and talk about how in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, we have this thing called the Beatitudes. Maybe you've heard of them, maybe you've read them, okay? And the idea of the word Beatitudes means sort of just like blessing or to be blessed, okay? So this idea then that Jesus gives us as he's about ready to jump into what's known as his Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel, are the Beatitudes. And so I want to, as I think about and give you this idea of the timing of hope, this thing, the now, for the not yet, for this future thing, right? Hoping for this thing that I don't have or haven't attained. I want you to keep that in mind as we read through the Beatitudes that Jesus gives us as he jumps into the Sermon on the Mount. So I'm going to read, you'll see verses 1, 2 up here, and then we're going to stop at verse 3. And I told last service, I wasn't really sure if this was not brilliant. I don't know if this was going to be just a stupid thing to do or try, or just you'll just have to put up with me. And there's coffee and donuts back there, so you can survive through it. My hope is that we're going to kind of unpack the Beatitudes in a, like, you know, couple minutes, right? Of course, I mean, people do studies on just the Beatitudes or just one of the Beatitudes. They do studies on this their whole life, okay? I don't know about you. I've had times where I've read the Beatitudes a number of times, and even still, we'll kind of go, wait, what does that even mean? Or that doesn't make sense, or what? So I'm going to try to unpack them as we think about this idea of the timing of hope. Hope is the thing that we experience now for something in the future. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, okay, so Jesus had been doing some healings throughout Galilee, and I mean, like literally healing people who were sick, and so the word got out, and then people were like, hey, maybe this is a guy we should be around, or bring our sick loved ones to, and he might make them better. So clearly, there was crowds starting to pay attention to and to follow Jesus around. So when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. You can think of sort of the logistics of this back in the day. Jesus is trying to talk to a lot of people. They don't have modern day AV equipment stuff. And so if he's sitting up on a hill speaking down to a group, there's a better chance that his voice would carry and he could speak to a lot of people. Jesus saw the crowds, went up on a mountainside, he sat down, disciples came over, and he began to teach them. Okay? Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there have been countless times when I have read through some of these and been like, what the heck does that mean? Okay, so here's the, ready? Here we go. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the idea of humble dependence upon God for our future. Hearing the timing of hope. So blessed are you, so that the hope is the now experience of the future thing. Okay? And Jesus is kind of giving this idea of there's hope. Even as you find yourself being poor in spirit, this recognition that you are humble and you need to depend on God for your future. The message writes it this way. You're blessed, and so we're going to kind of look at these two translations. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. I wonder how many of you this morning feel like you're right there, where you're like, I am at the end of my rope. Or maybe you know somebody and you're sitting here and that person's, their face comes to mind or their name or their situation and you're like, they are at the end of their rope. Perhaps this morning, my hope and my prayer is that whether this message be for you or for someone that you know that desperately needs to be reminded of hope, that they're just feeling hopeless. They're at the end of their rope and the message goes on, with less of you, there is more of God and his rule in your life. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Again, this is the idea of humility, of mourning over our own broken sinfulness. This is not the idea of mourning over the loss of a loved one, but rather mourning over how broken and sinful I am, and that it is only God who can restore my broken, sinful nature. God is my only hope for removing my sin and my sorrow as it relates to my broken sinfulness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The message says, you're blessed when you feel like you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. And maybe you can think of times in your life where you have felt that way. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Again, are you seeing a theme here? Jesus is talking about humility. Living lives that are practicing humility and being humble. Excuse me. This is not the idea of low self-esteem, right? Or being weak. Meek does not equal weak. Meek is living with humility. It's having the balance of not a too low view of self, but also not living with arrogance. You know times when you have encountered someone who is meek and you've actually enjoyed being in their company because they live with humility. Verse 6. Oh, sorry, the message. Forgot. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. What a great idea. No more, no less. And that's the moment that you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is an intense longing for this thing, as if it is a necessity. I'm striving for righteousness. The message says, you're blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal that you'll ever eat. When you're pursuing the things of God with an intensity that says, I must have this thing. I must grow in this relationship with God. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This is recognizing that we have received mercy and that then we are to extend mercy to another. Perhaps through generosity or forgiveness or compassion. Every single week here at Gateway, we say, forgive us our trespasses. God, have mercy on me for my sinfulness, as I also forgive others. Right? There's this idea of mercy, recognizing that I've experienced it and then I extend it. You're blessed when you care. I mean, what a great phrase. You're blessed when you care. What would it look like for you and for me to just take a moment, sometimes out of our crazy lives and our schedules, if we just took a moment to care? You are blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This is living with honesty, with sincerity, with integrity. This is being focused on your relationship with Christ. What does it look like? How do I grow in it? How do I pursue Jesus? How do I walk alongside him day to day? The message says you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart, when you get it put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. I can think of times in my own life when I felt like my relationship with God was on point. When it was like, yes, me and Jesus, we are walking step in step and like, whoa, this is great. God and Jesus and yay, and it's all like, it's good. And it's in those moments when I'm there that I then become more aware of God out in the world. It's like when I'm close with God in my own right, when it says, get your inside world. When I get my inside world right with God, then I become more aware of God in the outside. And I'm like, oh, God, look, there. I see you. Because I'm growing in this spot here. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart as they seek God, for they will see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is seeking to actively bring about peace. How are you actively trying to bring about peace in your life? And I don't mean peace like for you, like this sort of internal, like, ah. I mean, like, how are you working to bring about peace and reconciliation, and fighting injustice in your world? Home, school, workplace, neighborhood, wherever, in your community, in our community. Actively trying to be peacemakers. Not some sort of passive thing like, oh, I'm just trying to keep the peace. No, you're trying to bring the peace. You're trying to make the peace where there is not peace. Message says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. I mean, right? In our culture, in the workplace, in school, wherever, in church. Yeah. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. People who put other people above self will seldom hear the fanfare of that. They're seldom are going to receive awards or applause for the times when they have put others above self. And yet when we look at Jesus saying, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are those who are trying to put others above self, which is completely counter to what our culture would say. Culture would say, go get yours. The message says, you're blessed when you're committed to God, when your commitment to God provokes persecution. When you're trying to do the things, my paraphrase of this, when you're trying to do the things of God and people are pushing back because of that, because it becomes countercultural to pursue the things of God. When we think about the timing of hope, it's this, as you read through the Beatitudes, there's this pattern of a present hope for a future fulfillment. We hope for this thing that hasn't arrived yet, or we haven't attained, or we don't have. The timing of hope. The second thought is this, a source of hope. I believe that the source of our hope determines not only the possibilities, but also the depth of our hopefulness. The source of our hope determines not just what's out there in the possibilities of what might happen, but also the depth of how hopeful we might actually be. If your hope was this relationship or this title or that degree, or the source of your hope is some certain job or a certain salary, or maybe it's a particular politician or a political party, maybe your hope is your own health and yourself, maybe the source of hope for you is yourself, then what happens when one or all of those things fall apart? What happens when the source of your hope is one of those things and it all comes crashing down around you? What happens to your hope then when one of those things fails? Paul writes in if you're taking notes, Romans chapter 5. I won't throw it on the screen, but if you're taking notes or you have your Bibles open, Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace where we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And then hear this. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts, into your hearts, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What is the source of your hope? 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, that is why we labor and why we strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Who or what is the source of your hope? The writer of Hebrews says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, a firm and secure foundation. How many of us this morning, how many people do we know just are just kind of being tossed around amongst the waves of life? How many of us can think of times when we put our hope in this thing or this person only to find ourselves going, or ourselves only to find ourselves going, well, that didn't work. What is the source of your hope? The writer says, we have this hope. The hope that we put in the living God, who is our anchor. This morning, perhaps you're looking for stability, you're looking for clarity, you're looking for hope, and you try to put it in other places. And here we sit. What is the source of your hope? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, says the writer of Hebrews. For he who promised is faithful. The timing of hope, this now, the hope is this thing now for this future thing. And when we think about the source of our hope, what better place to have the source of our hope be than the one who is outside of time? Who for time it is limitless. And last thought is this, the story of hope. Again, if you're taking notes, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter writes and he says, in your hearts then, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So the timing of hope, the source of hope, what is the source of your hope, and then the story of hope. What a fantastic story to invite somebody into. And perhaps you can think of someone in your life that you have the opportunity to invite them into the story of hope. Peter tells us to always be ready to tell the story of hope. You can think of times in your life, and maybe you're there right now. Maybe you're in a season in your life where you're just barely clinging on to hope. I mean, you're just grasping at strings of it. Still there, you're still hopeful, but just barely. And you're hopeful that God's going to bring you out of this season into the next thing. Or perhaps you can think of times when you were in that season and God has brought you out of that and now you're on the other side of it. What a fantastic story to tell. What a great way to invite somebody into the story of hope, of God's hope and his love. Because you can say, I've been there. I was in this season and in this time, I was in the valley, I was in the desert, I was in the wilderness and I didn't know and I tried to keep hope alive. And God brought me out of it, and I got to tell you the story, because God is faithful. God is as the source of my hope, brought me through this thing, and it can be the same for you. This can be your story of hope. Peter tells us we got to be ready to tell the story. Always be ready to tell the story of hope. But you note that when he says that, he's also kind of making an assumption that that's a story that you know and claim. Hope is a thing that you have. And so this morning, if you're going, I don't have it, well, then that's great. We just go back to the source. What is the source of your hope? Surely you hoped in something at some point or someone at some point, and maybe they left and they're gone, and now where is your hope found? And then as you discover that, you've got a story to tell.